This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 12th chapter of Luke, verse 15. Luke 12:15. Here Jesus makes an extremely important statement. So important that he prefaces it by a couple of words of warning, where he said, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." What had happened is that there were two brothers who were fighting over the family inheritance. One was evidently trying to cheat the other out of his rightful share of the inheritance. Money can oftentimes be a very vicious thing. Covetousness can separate even brothers. Many, many families have been totally split by the inheritance of the family. Tragic and sad thing that at such a time covetousness often rears its ugly head. And such was the case with these two brothers as there was this dispute over the family inheritance. And one of them said, "Master," talking to Jesus, "speak to my brother that he divides the inheritance with me." And Jesus used this as an occasion. He said, "Take heed, beware of covetousness." Watch out for this horrible thing of covetousness, because a man's life does not consist in possessions or in the abundance of things that he possesses. This is interesting because it is a very common false conception of life that men develop. Most people do believe that the answer to their life is in the possessing of things. If I only had a new house, if we only had new living room furniture, if we only had a fancy sports car, if we only had a fast ski boat, and somehow men have in their minds that their life could be improved or bettered by possessions. And so many times people are devoting the primary focus of their life and thrust of their life into the amassing of possessions for themselves. For the very thing that Jesus declared is one of the most common false concepts of life that a man has. Somehow we think that a life and a man's life does involve the things that he possesses, that that's where life is really at. People so often say, "Well, I would be happy if I just had." And then it follows with some material possession. Yesterday was the day of fulfillment for many people. "Oh, just what I've always wanted. I'm so happy. Oh, you're so sweet to me. Oh, you're precious. Oh, how I appreciate this. You are so good to me." Oh, I'm so happy. Now, I don't like to be a wet blanket or a killjoy. But come around in a couple of months. It'll be interesting to see if you're still as excited and happy over that new possession. Chances are you'll find that it didn't do for you all that you were hoping that it would do or all that you thought it was going to do. Somehow there's something else developed now, a new need, a new desire, that which it will take to make you really happy. Oh, this was nice, and it's nice to have it, but I really, you know, need, and it constantly goes from one thing to another, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Things are nice. It's nice to have a home, a car. I suppose it would be nice to have a condo in Palm Springs. But these things will not bring real happiness to people. Nor can they bring you contentment. Covetousness is an evil that grows. And the more that you possess, it seems, the more that you covet. I do not really know many truly wealthy people. The richest man that I know on a personal basis happens to also be one of the most miserable men I know on a personal basis. And thus, my view of riches may be distorted because of this man. He's extremely wealthy as far as the possession of material goods. He maintains about $100 million in liquid assets in case a good buy might come along of something that he is wanting, and usually what he wants is breweries. This man is constantly fighting with other people as he is seeking to squeeze out an extra dollar in every deal. And as a result, usually ends up in litigation, suits and countersuits over every new brewery that he acquires. He spends 16 hours a day in scheming, devising, developing his plans to add to his fortune. He never rests, constantly driving, pushing, pushing, pushing. You wonder, how much will it take to make a man content? When can a man say, well, I've got enough? The other day in the financial section of the LA Times, I was reading an article about a big furor that has developed on the acquiring of a brewery, and how that there are some suits now that are being threatened and all. And I thought, boy, that sure sounds like my friend. And as I read on, sure enough, here his name. He's right in the center of this big fight that's going on in the acquisition of another brewery. Possessions cannot bring you contentment. Covetousness is a terrible thing because it can never be satisfied. And so a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. There are other important issues in life that are really more important than possessions. Relationships are really more important than possessions. To me, it is rather sad how that some people have sacrificed relationships for possessions. So driven are they by the desire to possess that they do not give time to relationship. So that by the time they're able to purchase that beautiful mansion that they've been pressing and driving so hard to get, their wife has left them, and so they're living in it alone. Pushing, pressing to the destruction of relationships, not taking time to develop relationships. And so you have the fastest ski boat on the lake, but you don't have anybody to pull. Another thing that people have often sacrificed in order for possessions is their health. I have seen people drive themselves until they destroyed their health. So that when they have finally have achieved the possessions that they were pushing and driving so hard for, they now don't have the health to enjoy it. In fact, having now amassed all of these possessions, I'm so sick that I now spend all of the money on doctors and hospital bills, and I lose everything that I had. Health is far more important than possessions. And yet, tragically, many people have sacrificed it for possessions. People have actually sacrificed their lives for possessions. They've driven themselves right into the grave. This friend of mine is driving himself to the grave. He has to pop heart pills all day long. But yet he won't slow down. The doctors say, "You're killing yourself. Slow down." He hasn't taken a vacation in years, nor even a day off. 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, drive, drive, push, push, a minimum of 16 a day. There are some days he spends 18 hours pushing himself. To amass for what? He doesn't even have any children to leave it to. Jesus made this statement, and then he illustrated it with a story. In verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I don't even have enough room to store all of my fruits.' And he said, 'I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and I will build greater. And there I will bestow all of my fruit and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you've got a lot of goods laid up for many years. Kick back, take it easy. eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then who will those things be which you have provided? You've spent your life. You've pushed yourself into the grave. You have finally come to that place where you can say, now notice, he hadn't come there yet. He said, when I achieve this, when I build the bigger barns and I fill those, then I can say, soul, take your ease. But he never got there. Because the Lord, looking at him, said, fool, this night, your soul's required. You've driven yourself right into the grave. And now, who's going to spend all of that money that you've amassed? And how are they going to spend it? You've been so careful. You've sacrificed. You've gone without. You've pinched the pennies in order that you might amass this fortune. And how do you know but what those that you leave it to aren't going to go out and just squander it on foolish, frivolous things? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. If not, then of what does a man's life consist? If it's not in possessions, what is it? A man's life, first of all, consists of a solid relationship with God through Jesus Christ. As we pointed out, relationships are more important than possessions, but the first relationship must always be that relationship with God. John said, this is the record. God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life. And he who has not the Son has not life. You see, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you haven't even started. You don't know what life is all about. You're still sitting out in the dark. Life really doesn't begin for a man until he has that solid relationship with God, which a man can only know through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And so life begins with that relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing in your life can be more important than this. And if to attain any position or any possession, if in the attaining that, it is necessary that you sacrifice your relationship with Jesus Christ, then whatever position or possession you are trying to attain is not worth it. You're getting a bum deal. And yet, it is so tragic to me that many times as a person becomes overcome with covetousness, that desire to have, one of the first things that he sacrifices is his relationship to Jesus Christ. And in so doing, you know that he's destined to be a loser. God called the man a fool. who laid up the treasures for himself, but was not rich towards God. Jesus told us that the heathen were seeking after the material things. That was the first priority in their lives. That was the chief concern of their life. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live. These material things. He said, after all of these things, the heathen seek. That's top priority for them. But he said, for you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That relationship with God, that has to be top priority. That has to be the first thing in your life. And if you'll put that first, if you'll get the right priority of life, then you'll find that life will balance out and all these things, the Lord said, will be added to you. The Lord will take care of the material things. But if you get your life out of priority, and if the material things become the dominant issues of your life, and they become the primary thrust of your life, then you are destined for this discontentment, unhappiness, because you'll never be able to amass enough material things to satisfy that covetousness that will overcome you. The Bible said the truly rich man is the man who has godliness with contentment. That's great riches. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in to therewith be content. I can be content with little, I can be content with a lot. It doesn't matter. Because contentment is not a matter of possessions of material things. Contentment is an attitude of the heart in its right relationship with God. I'm satisfied. I have God. I need nothing more. Now, as I have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, this in turn has an effect upon every other relationship that I have. Because I have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, I now have a right relationship with my wife. I am becoming the kind of a husband that God wants me to be. I'm becoming the kind of a father that God wants me to be. I'm becoming the kind of an employer or an employee that God would have me to be. As my relationship with God is right, then it has as its effect the correcting of every other relationship in my life. Now, as you look around at your own life and your relationships, are they all messed up? You find that you're having interpersonal problems. Chances are, if you'll go to the heart of the issue, you'll find that your relationship with God has somehow gotten out of kilter. The most important measurement for a man's wealth has to be the treasure that I have in heaven. For no matter how much or what I might amass here on this earth, I'm not going to take any of it with me. A very wealthy farmer in the Midwest died. And one of the fellows in town asked one of his sons one day, "Just how much did your old man leave?" And the son answered, "Everything." So true. And that's how much you're going to leave. Everything. You can't take it with you. Jesus said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul will be required." And then who is going to spend all that you have saved up? For he said, "So is he that lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." You see, ultimately, the true riches will be measured by your relationship with God. How rich are you in your relationship with Him? How treasured is your relationship with Him? A man is a fool who spends his life to amass possessions that someone else will spend, while neglecting the most important relationship that any man could ever have, his relationship with God. A man who may be rich by the standards of the world, but poor in the eyes of God. Because we're only here for such a short time. We're going to be there forever. It stands to reason that we should seek to have greater wealth than the kingdom of God. In those certain riches rather than the uncertain riches of this world. As you look at your own life this morning, what would you say your life consists of? What are the main issues? What is the dominant thrust? What are you seeking above everything else at this point? What is the drive? For what is the drive? It would be important for you to look at this carefully in your own life, make an evaluation, because remember, Jesus said, "Take heed, beware." Now, whenever the Lord says, "Beware," it's good that you beware, take note of it. In a part of my past, in trying to keep food on the table, I was engaged in door-to-door sales work. And there would be times that I would come to a fence and there would be a sign, "Beware of the dog." And I'd hear a dog barking inside and I'd peek through and I'd see a German shepherd, you know, gritting his teeth and all, and I paid attention to the signs. It's just good wisdom. When the sign says beware, it's just good to beware. But when Jesus says beware, it's important that we beware of this ugly thing of covetousness, because it can actually destroy that which is truly valuable and makes a man rich. And it replaces it with glass baubles. You're trading off that which is truly valuable for that which is worthless. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Remember that. Shall we pray? Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts today. And may we examine ourselves in the light of thy Spirit and see, Lord, if there be some area of covetousness in us. That is destroying us, our relationship with you, and our relationships with those around us. Oh God, help us. It's so easy to get our priorities all jumbled. It is so easy to begin seeking first the wrong things. Those things that cannot satisfy, that will not last. Oh Lord, correct our priorities. May we indeed seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, our relationship with you, our walk with you. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Not to be a fool, but to be wise with the wisdom of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you from an overindulgence this afternoon in the leftover goodies. May you have a blessed day, strengthened with the strength of the Lord. Blessed with the knowledge of his love. And may you walk in a ever deepening fellowship with him. In Jesus' name.